Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When John wrote his inspired gospel, he wasted no time in getting to the main point. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and he was God. Furthermore, by him all things were made. Then he reached out to those whom he created that they might become God's children. Please open your Bible to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John and listen as Pastor Ben Hiwali begins his study of verses 1 through 14 in the second message in the Advent series entitled, Beholding the Glory of God.
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It starts with the word in and ends with the word truth. So in truth, I'm going to read John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And now, Pastor Ben.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Merry Christmas. Can't believe it's second week of Advent for us. And if you are here, we're glad you're here. If you are online, and if you don't have electric, obviously you can't watch me, you know. But hopefully you will know that we were praying for you. But hey, when you live in America, right, no one has to tell you that it's Christmas time. You don't have to go to the internet and do a search or figure out what time of the year this is. Christianity, as we know, has shaped Western culture. We love to celebrate holidays, especially this one, because we kind of begin right after Thanksgiving. You know, now, and people now have started to do it before Thanksgiving. But we celebrate many holidays in the United States, and each one has a very clear, defined purpose. For example, Independence Day, we know the purpose of it is the Declaration of Independence. Dr. Martin Luther King Day, we celebrate because of what he did for civil rights. Thanksgiving and Labor Day for everybody that works. But billions of people will celebrate Christmas. But as you step back and look at it, and you say, but do they really understand why we celebrate Christmas? Now, most people these days will celebrate Christmas Day, but they will not celebrate it as a spiritual holy day. Most people celebrate Christmas as a cultural holiday. So if you were asked, why do you celebrate Christmas? What would your response be? The most likely response is that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, that's really not the answer. I know what we celebrate. We all know what we celebrate. Well, the question remains, why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? We don't celebrate birthdays of any other people. We don't celebrate birthdays of Washington or Jefferson or Donald Trump or whoever else. But this baby, Jesus, who was born in a no-name town called Bethlehem, why does everyone celebrate, for the most part, his birthday? His is the most celebrated birthday in the whole world. And so the question remains, why do we celebrate this birthday. But then you want to unlayer that onion, if you will, because the core of that question, that's on the surface, but the core of that question is, why doesn't everyone want Christianity to be true? Now, some people will say, well, I don't believe it is true because there's so many things about the Bible. And you're like, okay, it's possible you need more information. It's possible you need some questions answered. It's possible that you need some things explained. But then you also run into some people who don't want Christianity to be true. But when you hear the gospel presentation put in before you, why wouldn't you? Just why wouldn't you want it to be true? Here's what Pascal said, the French philosopher. It's very interesting. People, he said, most invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. In other words, when we find something attractive to us, we go find reasons to substantiate our belief. He's not saying if something is attractive, then it is true. I'm not saying that Christianity is true because it's attractive, even though Christianity, from its earliest forms, has been extremely attractive. We want people to want it to be true, even though we know intellectually they cannot possibly get there at the moment you're having that conversation. But people were attracted to Jesus and Christianity, in fact, so much so that it became the predominant thought of the culture and the worldview of the Roman government. We're doing a series called Behold the Glory, and this is the second message in that series with Pastor Ray and me. And whether you know the Christmas story, whether you are a Christian or not, the reason why we celebrate the birth of this baby is for one reason and one reason alone, and that is because who this baby was when he was born. We just sang a Christmas carol, probably in Google searches. I haven't done it, but probably comes up in the top five of Christmas carols. This Christmas carol was written by Charles Wesley, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And if you've been in church or just a cultural Christian, you've sung this carol. I don't know if you really paid attention or maybe it grabbed you, some of those verses in that carol. But one thing that he wrote down is like the linchpin of Christianity. The verse that said, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The reason Charles Wesley wrote that, because every baby that is born in this world since the beginning is a human baby with a human nature. You and I were born as human beings with a human nature. Christianity says that baby boy, when he was born, he did not have one nature, but he had two natures. And so he had a human nature, but he also had a divine nature. And yes, he was a human baby. He cried like other human babies. He was breastfed like a baby. He had diapers changed like a baby. But he's also the heaven's baby. He was the son of Mary, but he also was the son of God. Christmas is not just, this is what somebody said, and I think this captures it well. Christmas is not just a day we celebrate. Christmas is not just a date we commemorate. It's about a deity we coronate. It is not just about a birth of a baby. It's about the king whose glory we behold. So if you're not a Christian, there are many things, and I would agree, that are difficult to believe about Jesus. Born of a virgin? Come on. Who was born of a virgin? Lived a perfect life? Nobody's perfect. Coming back from the dead? You ever heard anybody come back from the dead? See, take Jesus out of the equation, and no one has come back from the dead. So these things, for most people, just don't happen, and they have a wide gap there. But if you just consider that these things could be true, could be true, then let me ask you to consider this. If Jesus Christ was God, then none of these things are an issue. Born of a virgin? Not an issue. Lived a perfect life? What else could you expect? Come back from the dead? He's the God of life and death. So there are no issues. Even Bollywood and Hollywood couldn't write this story. They could not write about a boy who did not have a human father, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that lived a perfect life and died for everyone dead or alive right now or will live in the future. And that he came back from the grave. See, the real stumbling block in Christianity, saints, is not the grave. The real stumbling block in Christianity is not the cradle. It's not the cross. It's not the empty tomb. But when you say that Jesus Christ was born in flesh, God in flesh, everyone checks out. The Jews check out, the Jehovah Witnesses check out, the Hindus check out, the Muslims check out. Everyone checks out because everyone thinks that that is a bridge too far to go across. Oh, yes, everyone thinks highly of Jesus. They will say, he's different, but not divine. He was great, but he's not God. He should be welcomed, but not worshipped. You see, the problem we have with all of these people, with all of their conclusions that they have come to, is that we have gospel writers who were eyewitnesses, who spent 3+ years with him. They ran away from him before he died, but they died for him after he was resurrected. And either they were either all high on acid or very confused, which is not true. Saints, if Jesus was not God, then we need to give some sort of an award to Jesus because he sure did play an act. We all have a choice to make. And John is one of his closest disciples, along with Peter and James, who all wrote books. And he writes in this book this majestic statement on what our response should be to this majestic baby. Now, John, at this point when he's writing, he's an old man. And he decides, because I'm sure people were asking, hey, John, come on, your buddies have written stuff and all of that. You're getting old. We don't know when you're going to croak. So can we get this stuff out that you've seen and your witness and all of that? And I'm sure I'm just paraphrasing this because, of course, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write his story. And being an old man, he decides that he needs to get the story out and begins to write down his thoughts. So where do you begin an epic story like this? So John begins his story with the life of Jesus and goes right to the heart of what Christmas is all about. In the beginning, he says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. And he came to the world he created, but they knew him not. His own received him not, but those that received him and believed him, he gave them power to be sons and daughters. And he was born of the will of God. And then he says, okay, you know, he just kind of says, I'm not going to do how they really write books. But I'm just gonna go at it. And here was a big interruption. The Word, Logos, became flesh. God actually inhabited a body. God became flesh. And John's probably saying, I know, it's hard for you to believe this, okay? But the explanation for all things ever took residence among us. And then he says, we, in verse 14. And he's not talking about you, we. And he's not talking about me, we. He's not, certainly not talking about we, right? He's talking about him, we. And he's saying, this isn't something I heard. This isn't something that was passed along. This isn't something that I read about or what have you. But we, as in Peter, Andrew, James, and all the apostles and many others, we, he says, have seen, not in a vision, but physically seen his glory. God is our Father. Jesus is the unique Son who represents the presence of God and shows us what God is truly like. And so there are three clear responses or implications about what John wrote. Number one, he says, behold the glory of God. Secondly, you witness the glory of God. And thirdly, you welcome the grace of God. Now, verse 14 is really a deep, deep verse. When you get to the place of trying to explain that God became flesh, this isn't surface stuff, right? And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the Son, that's the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word being Jesus became a human being and lived with us. Many of you have heard a word in religious setting called incarnation. This word means God became human and lived among us. It's also important to note what John did not say. He did not say that the baby was wrapped up in human costume or pretended to be a human being. In the original Greek, John is very careful and precise on how he writes this. He says, God, without ceasing to be God, became human. What he says in simple English is, the creator of the world and the humans came into the world. He created as a human being, the same God that spoke creation into existence. Let there be light. Let there be stars. Let there be this. Let there be that. That same God lived among us as a human being. He became one of us. He became one with us. He became one to us, and he became one for us. You cannot understand Christianity, saints, until you understand that the Word became flesh. If you don't believe Jesus was God, you cannot be a Christian. It does not matter what else you would believe about him or the Bible or the church. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ became human, God in flesh, came and lived with us, then you cannot be a Christian or a disciple of Christ. Most religions and their gods, they don't have a problem with creation, sun, moon, and stars. What is mind-boggling to most people is not how high God can go, but how low he went. He became one of us. The truth is, becoming a human being doesn't fit in the boxes of religions that are out there. No other religion asks its followers, like Christianity does, to confess that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us as an essential to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Saints, you cannot explain what Jesus did until you explain who Jesus was. If you don't understand who Jesus was, you will not understand what Jesus did. God can never stop being God. Jesus was the Son of God, has always been God. There's never been a time when Jesus Christ was not God. There was a time when he was not human, but there has never been a time when he was not God. Jesus was not a humanized God. He was not a deified man. He was not half God and half man. He was all God and all man. You can take Jesus out of heaven, but you can never take heaven out of Jesus. Amen. He never stopped being God. The most important thing in Christianity is not that Jesus was born, that Jesus lived, or that Jesus died, or came back from the dead. The most distinct teaching of Christianity that separates it from everyone else is that Jesus was God. None of the men that are worshipped, Confucius, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, none of them ever claimed to be God. Christianity is the only religion that proclaims that our founder was God. A great question to ask. So why did the Son of God choose to leave heaven? Come to earth as the God-man. The reason is because God wants us to know him intimately, personally, completely, fully, spiritually. That raises another question. How can a sinful person know a perfect spirit? Because you remember, God said to Moses, if you actually see me, you're going to die. But what I want you to know is that God wants to know you and me. So how does a perfect God take a sinful person to heaven? Well, to accomplish that, God brought heaven to us. Since we cannot get to heaven on our own, he brought heaven to you and to me. So when you listen to others and their religious leaders tell you, this is what they do. They tell you what God is like. Jesus, on the other hand, does not tell you. He shows you what God is like. Ever since Jesus came to this world, everything changed for mankind. Jesus was not just God in man. He was not just God and man. He was the only God-man. This is why we don't celebrate Christmas as a cultural holiday, but a holy day. So not only you behold the glory of God, secondly, you witness the glory of God. Now, if you were a disciple of Christ, not only would you have beheld his glory, you would have been a witness of his glory. Look at what John says in verse 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. He meant that physically, that we saw the glory of God. That word seen is a very unique word in the Greek language. It does not mean to look at as if it seems, but in Greek it means to stare in amazement. John was a disciple, and he spent 3 years with Jesus, and he was an eyewitness, and he's saying, I saw the glory of God in what he did. I heard the glory of God in what he said. I saw the glory of God in his works. And if you can't see the wonder in Christmas that Jesus is God, then you won't see any need to worship him as God. If you lose the wonder, you lose the worship. The reason why everyone does not worship Jesus is because they don't recognize Jesus. Getting back to John, and what he saw for 3 years. He saw a man that got thirsty. Then he saw the same man, God-man, walk on water. He saw a man that got hungry and ate bread. And then he saw God feed 5,000 men and women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He saw a man that died on the cross, but also saw God resurrect himself from the grave. Everywhere Jesus ran, God was there with him. The glory of God was flying with him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is December 21st. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.